Hola and welcome back to Voice Memos. I'm your host, Angela George, and on this episode, I am talking about ICE in Minnesota. I believe I'm always going to talk about things that matter to me on this podcast, and my identity is inherently political. Art is inherently political. Staying creative and being joyful and having community is inherently political now. So I think, like, of course, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast. And if you're new here, I really appreciate you being here. And this is the expectation for the community on the, like, that's following this podcast, is that we talk about things that matter and we do things about it. Typically on the podcast, I talk about creativity, self-care, career, things that bring me joy. But this has been the darkest moments of my life so far. Every day in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, we hear about worse and worse horrifying atrocities that ICE is committing against the city and its residents. I wanted to make this episode about how we peacefully protested yesterday at the ICE Out Now March. 50,000 people showed up in negative 10 degree weather and peacefully expressed and demanded for ICE to leave the city and leave the state. And then today, ICE and the Trump administration has doubled down on their escalation. So, yeah. If any of that sounds interesting to you, stay tuned. I'll be doing a reading from the zine that I handed out at the march, and I'll be talking about some of that source material. I found a zine at the march, so that was kind of cool. And I just feel like I gotta keep making this podcast so people know what's happening here, and people can, I don't know, hear another perspective, see that we are still being creative and sticking together as a community in Minneapolis. So without further ado, let's get into it. All right. So, yeah, as of this morning, ICE has executed another person in Minneapolis on January 24th. My coworkers are scared to go to work here. My friends are heartbroken, scared. I'm scared, but we are, as a community, not letting fear stop us. As soon as word spread about the execution, people showed up. A protest started immediately. And like I said, I'm amazed every time that this community continues to stand up against ICE, and I'm just really glad that I live here, and I'm going to stay living here. Like, people are ready to fight back peacefully, and we will continue to use our rights. So, yeah, the zine I found at the protest, if you're listening, it's about the whistles. If you don't know, in Minneapolis, they have started these really amazing decentralized groups that blow whistles whenever they see ICE activity, and that's how people gather so fast when these incidents occur. Yeah, why the whistle? A simple tool for fast alerters, loud, recognizable, impossible to ignore. Our voices are stronger together. Like, that's what this zine is saying. And then it's instructions on the code. And it's, yeah, they say it's an instant alert system. It's faster than social media, and it turns silence into community action. So that's why it works. And yeah, they're encouraging everyone, wear a whistle with you and teach other people about it, because that's how we are continuing on the ground to fight against this ICE activity. And I mean, like Tim Walz said, it's just about recording and documenting what's happening and continuing to build a case against ICE. And yeah, so I'm glad to see there's other people making zines and distributing information during this time, because it is, I mean, the situation just changes every single minute. If you log off for 5 minutes, you miss something horrific. If you log back in, you're traumatized. Like, the video of the execution today was extremely traumatic to watch. And you don't have to watch it to be active, to be in the know, to be informed. But if you do watch it, it will traumatize you, because it is just an execution in the streets of Minneapolis. So the reason I decided to bring zines to the protest yesterday is because zines are deeply rooted in activism. Like this whistle one, they're an easy way to spread information. They don't rely on like the news or social media or anything. They're simply something physical you can hand to a neighbor, to a friend, and they spread information kind of like underground. And that's kind of how resistances stay alive, is by having multiple channels of communication. So I thought, as a zinester at the protest, I could spread a little bit of knowledge, some joy, some thoughts, and just, yeah. And what I saw at the protest yesterday at the Ice Out Minnesota, Minneapolis protest was an example of community. And I didn't see any violence. There was simply people stomping, clapping, cheering, and just advocating for their neighbors that didn't feel like they could even leave to get groceries anymore. Because that's the case for some people. They don't even want to leave their houses anymore. They're so scared. And I mean, it's not even undocumented people. It is U.S. citizens are scared to like go outside because people are being detained just because they look like they're not from here, which doesn't even make any sense. So yeah, it's a complete racial profiling, racist campaign on behalf of ICE. So this zine is called Viva la raza, chinga la migra, esperanza en palabras poderosas, hope in powerful words. And I made it in orange, and then I also made it in blue, kind of as a nod to the sub-zero conditions that we were protesting in. And people are continuing to protest today. So I'll be reading every page in this zine, because honestly, I don't really know what else to say on this. Like, when I was making the zine, it felt very cathartic, because if you're watching, you can see the source material in the background here. Undocumented by Aviva Chomsky, who is a longtime ally and a professor, an ally of undocumented peoples. And then Gloria Anzaldúa is a Chicana feminist, queer scholar and advocate. So she does poems, she does essays. And then Timothy Snyder from On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century. Just a great, really pertinent read for right now. So just like going back through those source materials, I've had both of those books on my bookshelves for years now. And I've read both of them. But just going back through them was really inspiring. And I just wanted to spread that information more, that there are other like authors throughout history that have talked about this topic, and they have words of hope, they have words of wisdom. And yeah, it's just important knowledge to know in the current moment. So that's the inspiration for this scene. The first spread, the first page is Chicana in Minneapolis, and these are my words, and I'm going to read it in Spanish and English. Hola, soy Angela. Soy un descendiente de inmigrantes. Vivo y trabajo en Minneapolis. Es un tiempo tan asustante y peligroso, pero yo veo el poder en nuestra comunidad. Cuando perdemos un miembro de nuestra comunidad, todos activamos, gritamos y trabajamos para hacer un futuro mejor. Tengo mucha confianza en las palabras de estos autores, y las palabras me dan esperanza de lo que podemos ganar. Si todavía hay arte, música y creatividad, tenemos más oportunidades para hacer cambio. And then this is English. And apologies if the Spanish is off. It's been a while since I was studying it, so I'm trying to use it more, especially now. Hi, I'm Angela. I am descended from immigrants. I live and work in Minneapolis. Times are scary and dangerous, but I see the power in our community. When we lose a member of our community, we activate, speak out, and work to create a better future. I have faith in the words from these authors, and the words give me hope that we can win. If there is still art, music, and creativity, we have opportunities to make change. Viva la raza, chinga la migra. So I kind of wrote it as a foreword to these excerpts because, yeah, it can feel so hopeless right now, the way that we're living. And honestly, like, there's just times where I'm like, okay, I've already called my senators. I know about the whistles. I went to a protest. Like, what else can I do? And the list does continue of things that you can do. There's places to donate groceries. There's people making survival kits. There's, I mean, all kinds of things. I'm using my platform to talk about it. But eventually there is going to be a time where you feel hopeless. So that's why I look to other people who have studied the situation on immigration, who have personally dealt with it and have written about it, because that's another way to process, is just reading and learning. So this first excerpt is from the book Undocumented: How Immigration Became Illegal by Aviva Chomsky. And this is towards the end of the book. It is not okay for a public park, a town, a country, or a state to discriminate regarding who is allowed to enter its space, but it is okay for a country to do that. It is not okay to treat people differently based on their religion, race, gender, or many other characteristics, but it's okay to treat people differently based on where they were born or their nationality, which is generally determined by where a person is born. U.S. immigration laws do just that. Discriminate on the basis of nationality regarding who is allowed to be where. If we really want to address the problem of undocumentedness, or so-called illegal immigration, we need to look more in depth at why the United States has made immigration illegal to begin with. I hope my book shows that the drive to illegalize immigration was wrong-headed from the start. It's just the last stage in a centuries-long process of legislated inequality, a process both global and domestic. So, yeah, like, I thought that those two paragraphs really summarized the whole book, and obviously she builds the whole case from starting from centuries ago with lots of examples and historical evidence. So if you're interested in, like, the story of how immigration became illegal, that's a great read, and that's kind of the conclusion of her book. The next spread here is from Borderlands, La Frontera, The New Mestiza by Gloria Anzaldúa. And so I've got a little paragraph here and then an excerpt from one of her poems. The U.S.-Mexican border es una herida abierta, which means like an open wound, where the third world grates against the first and bleeds. And before a scab forms, it hemorrhages again, the lifeblood of two worlds merging to form a third country, a border culture. A borderland is a vague and undetermined place created by the emotional residue or an unnatural boundary. It is in a constant state of transition. The prohibited and forbidden are its inhabitants. Los atravesados live here. The squint-eyed, the perverse, the queer, the troublesome, the mongrel, the mulatto, the half-breed, the half-dead. In short, those who cross over, pass over, or go through the confines of the normal. Gringos in the U.S., Southwest consider the inhabitants of the borderlands transgressors, aliens, whether they possess documents or not. Whether they're Chicanos, Indians, or blacks, do not enter. Trespassers will be raped, maimed, strangled, gassed, shot. The only legitimate inhabitants are those in power, the whites, and those who align themselves with whites. And I will say, like, this book is a little bit older and it's pretty much centered on, like, the border between U.S. and Mexico. But, I mean, I think these words still hold true. Only the legitimate inhabitants are those in power, the whites and those who align themselves with whites. I think that's what we are seeing right now is, like, with this Trump regime, they have completely stripped undocumented people of any rights. So, I mean, I think we're seeing this with the current Trump regime. It is horrific how they have completely dehumanized immigrants, and they continue to go with the narrative that they're only taking the most criminal, the most dangerous people out, when in reality they are kidnapping children. They are taking people out of their homes with, like, no real clothing in freezing conditions. And they are shooting people, citizen or not, undocumented or not, they are executing people. So it is an open wound. I don't know how else we're going to hold these people accountable besides, I really don't know, because right now they are acting like they are above the law. It is a completely lawless occupation of Minneapolis. That's how it feels with the ICE presence here. They are ubiquitous. They outnumber our police force 2-1, 3-1. And yeah, they feel like they can do whatever the fuck they want. I mean, I've heard multiple times that I should be carrying around my passport with me as a U.S. citizen. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to normalize that behavior of having to carry your documents around to prove who you are here. That is insane. And I hope others do the same, because there's no reason for us to show ID or carry around papers like that. So the next one here is No se raje, chicanita. Don't give in, chicanita. And this is just like the last stanza of the poem. And I'll read it in Spanish and English. Si me pase que en unos cuantos años o siglos la raza se levantara lengua intacta, cargando lo mejor de todas las culturas, esa víbora dormida, la rebeldía saltara, como cuero viejo carrera la esclavitud de obedecer, de callar, de aceptar, como víbora relampagueando nos moveremos, mujercita, ya verás. Yes, in a few years or centuries, la raza will rise up, tongue intact, carrying the best of all the cultures. That sleeping serpent, rebellion, revolution, will spring up. Like old skin will fall the slave ways of obedience, acceptance, silence. Like serpent lightning will move, little woman, you'll see. And so I put this poem excerpt in here because I just felt like it was some words of hope. And that's it. Like, just some hope. Because that's what we need right now. And then the last pages here are from On Tyranny, 20 Lessons from the 20th Century, Timothy Snyder. And I'll just read all 20 rules because, or yeah, I guess they're rules or lessons. Yeah. 1, do not obey in advance. 2, defend institutions. 3, beware the one-party state. 4, take responsibility for the face of the world. 5, remember professional ethics. 6, be wary of paramilitaries. Ding, ding, ding. 7, be reflective if you must be armed. 8, stand out. 9, be kind to our language. 10, believe in truth. Literally yesterday, the day of truth and freedom. 11, investigate. 12, make eye contact and small talk. 13, practice corporal politics. 14, establish a private life. 15, contribute to good causes. 16, learn from peers in other countries. 17, listen for dangerous words. 18, be calm when the unthinkable arrives. 19, be a patriot, and 20, be as courageous as you can. And then I highlighted for the zine number 9, be kind to our language, with another excerpt from the book. Avoid pronouncing the phrases everyone else does. Think up your own ways of speaking, even if only to convey that thing you think everyone is saying. Make an effort to separate yourself from the internet. Read books. Read books, right? The administration wants us to be dumb. They want us to be complacent. And reading books, sharing knowledge, creating things is how we fight back against that. So that's the idea with this zine. And the last page just has some information about Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, because ICE is literally violating people's constitutional rights every day. And yeah, I know the tone of this episode was pretty low. I'm hoping there's going to be some changes by the time the next episode rolls around, but we'll see. I will continue to post here because that is my form of resistance. I'm going to continue using my First Amendment freedom of speech. And I'm not afraid. So I'm going to continue to post and have a voice because I know there's other people that are scared and don't have that ability right now. Sorry, my cat is crawling all over the set right now. If you enjoyed this episode, thank you for watching or listening. You can find more about this podcast in the links in the description. I post bi-weekly, so I'll see you in a few weeks. Bye.